Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and we call all of our pastors here on staff coaches because here maybe we feel like or we believe that God has called us to be a team and that every single person in here has a position that God has planned for you, that God wants you to be actively a part of our church, and that our job as leaders is to coach you in how to thrive. And what is that spot? And what are the strengths and passions that God's given you to reach out here in Western Independence? So that's why we call ourselves coaches. We're starting a brand new series today called Struggling with God. Something that I can tell about all of our lives is that we've all gone through hard things. The book of Proverbs says that every heart knows its own sorrow. And I don't have to be a fortune teller to know that we're probably all going to go through more hard things as we go through life. But how does God interact with us as we go through those hard things? Do we push him away? Do we stick with him? There's a struggle there. And the whole series is going to be about not necessarily about finding the answers, but about how do we go through those hard times with God. And so I invited a couple that's really special to me, Jeremy and Lisa, to come and share a little bit about us. So let's give it up for Jeremy and Lisa. So my first interaction with them might have also been yours, too. If you came to our fall festival last year at this time, it's coming up again here on the 31st. We always do a trunk or treat. People decorate it. And our grand champions last year were Jeremy and Lisa with this, the good, the bad, and the ugly, representing Bob and Josh and I. And so we had little clothes that kind of fit us and little stools that are behind. I'll let you figure out who was the good, the bad, and the ugly. It was a pretty incredible float or trunk. And so that was my first interaction with them. But there was a big story that led up to Jeremy and Lisa being here at Maywood. And a couple years ago, they didn't go to church, didn't believe in God. Really, God wasn't a big part of their lives. And a lot of big stuff was going on in their life. So, Jeremy, we're going to roll back the clock to almost 3 years ago, to July 4th of that year. So, Jeremy, tell us about the phone call that you received that night.
It was July 4th, 2013, and before the evening festivities started, I received a phone call that no parent, or every parent, fears that they will get, and that's that our oldest daughter, Aaliyah, 22, had been in a car accident, and her boyfriend, herself, and his three young children all expired in the accident. As we got into the reports that came in later on, we found that they were actually heading towards the fireworks stand, and they came across a bend in the highway. It was a two-lane highway, and Jason had run off the road and to the shoulder and overcorrected, lost control of the car, and it skid across into the oncoming traffic where there happened to be a bigger vehicle that hit the car. As time passed, we also learned that Jason was doing about 15 miles an hour over the speed limit, and he was three times the legal limit in drunk.
So how did you guys handle that news, Jeremy? I mean,
I can't explain how it was handled. I was very angry, with the loss of Aaliyah and the loss of the children. I was really angry at Jason for, putting them in that position. With his passing in the accident too, I didn't really have anywhere to, put that anger or frustration. It was just all built up, and you know, it was really painful.
So in the weeks that followed, you know, how did you and Lisa handle that grief? How did that start to play out?
You know, a lot of it was a blur, but you know, I think for the first month and a half, you know, I didn't even sleep in our bed. You know, I spent a lot of my time out in the garage, and I had a couch out there. I was a smoker, and I didn't smoke in the house. So, you know, it's just at nighttime, it was a really tough time for me because I was, you know, just the quietness and the left to your thoughts, and your mind has the racing thoughts. There was no peace. It was very, very hard. You know.
And so you spent almost all your time, as we were talking earlier this week, in the garage, staying up sometimes multiple days and then crashing.
Yeah, it was sometimes 2 days of not sleeping and then finally crash and then up 2 days again and then finally crash.
And even though Lisa's trying to be supportive, Aunt Lisa winds up staying in the bedroom most of the time, you in the garage most of the time, so you guys are isolated even as you're trying to help each other. And if we fast forward in the midst, well, I guess first, what were some of the ways you guys tried to reach out for help?
I Googled, you know, grief and what possible things we could do. We went to the Solace House and to get some counseling. We had a therapist that we went to. We just followed the steps that we read, you know, do a memorial garden, just anything that we could get a little peace or to help the process along.
Were those things helpful and effective?
You know, we just felt that nobody understood our pain, really. I mean, you know, the therapists and counselors, we just didn't think that they had the experience that we had, and we just weren't getting the answers or progressing like we thought we should be. Just seemed like we was just in a dark place.
And in the midst of all of that, about almost a year later, exactly the following June, Jeremy's other daughter, Kim, gets into some trouble. Lisa, can you kind of take us through what was going on there?
It was at the end of June 2014. Kim had just turned 21. And it was actually the last week of June. She came to us saying that she had a drug problem. She came to our house, and it was a Monday, and said that she had been doing meth for 8 months every single day, and that she needed help. So we took her, got her a rehab program. It was outpatient. She was supposed to start on a Wednesday, and she didn't even make it that night. She just took back off to her drug life out here in Independence. We're from Kansas City, Kansas. And, you know, she sold her phone. We had no way of contacting her. She was homeless. Her and her boyfriend were sleeping in the car. We had just no way. We were getting little bits of information of she was seen here, she was seen there. But it was just wearing on us. We were coming up to the first anniversary of Aaliyah's death, and dealing with this, it's the feeling started coming back of losing another child. It's too much. So Jeremy comes storming out of the garage and 10 o'clock at night, July 1st, and said, we're going to go get her.
And so she had sold her car, right, for drugs. You'd heard that. Mm-hmm. And that Jeremy has this decision, okay, we're going to go get her. It's about 10 o'clock at night. You guys don't really know Independence. Mm-hmm. So what was the strategy? What did you guys do?
I just jumped on I-70 and headed for 23rd Street, headed down 23rd Street, and we just started looking. And like Lisa said, it was about 10 o'clock at night, and probably about a half an hour into looking, I don't remember the cross street, but it was on 23rd, I spotted her walking down the hill with her boyfriend by a liquor store, and there was a gas station and a Walgreens. And
so what did you guys do once you saw her?
I pulled into a parking lot on the other side of this building, and I jumped out, and I told Lisa that to drive the car, I was going to run over, grab her. She could pull up, I'll throw her in the back, and we'll be out.
Okay, so you told me a little bit about this. So you've got your work boots on because you ride from work. You start running across 23rd. The boyfriend's with her at this point, so pick up there.
Well, it went down exactly as it was planned. I didn't even have a shirt on. I was still in my work pants and my boots, and I just started. By the time we had gotten everything together, they were crossing 23rd, and they were almost on the other side of it. And I just beelined straight for them and gave them a little warning before I got there. And she kind of dropped down onto her knees, and the boyfriend kind of, he was startled, so he kind of backed up a little bit. And I just pointed at him and told him, "You better run," and that's what he did. And I grabbed Kim, and Lisa pulled up, threw her in the back seat. I jumped in the back seat with her so she couldn't go out the other side, and told her to go, and we went.
And yeah, so we grabbed her so fast that we left the flip-flops on the street.
Yes. So where's the first place that you take Kim once you have her?
We took her to her sister's grave, and she hadn't seen the marker yet, and I just told her, you know, what happened to her sister was an accident, and what she was doing was on purpose, and she told her she's going to rehab, she doesn't have a choice, I'm not losing another child.
So you guys check her in to rehab, it's fairly far away. And that's in June, if that's all going on. Anniversary of Aaliyah's death in July. In August, what phone call, Lisa, do you now get?
It was a Monday, August 18th. I come home every day for lunch. My dad was living with us about 6 years, and he was eating lunch, and he's like, "Well, I need to go get my younger brother from school to go get his booster shot." So he just went ahead and left. 10 minutes later, I get a phone call that my dad had just been found laying in the school parking lot unresponsive, and that they had to show up, and the ambulance had to shock him that he was not breathing, and that it was actually somebody had drove by and saw him laying in the parking lot, called the school principal, come running out and did CPR on him until the ambulance got there, but the phone call was, "Get to the hospital." So I just took off, got to the hospital. And the doctor came out, the cardiologist, and said that he's on life support. He's in a coma. He's like, "Your dad's heart's working about 12%. He's got a balloon inserted to pump his heart. He's got a breathing machine that's breathing for him." And he said, "It's just a weak heart. There's nothing we can do for him. He's got 10% chance to live." And he held out his hands, and he said, "It's in God's hands." And I just stood there, like, I didn't even know what to think. Like, God's hands. Like, what do I do now, you know? We went to the room to see him, and then another doctor came in, and he told us, you know, with it being in God's hands, you need a miracle, and there's power in prayer. And he just kind of left us with that. We went home with that thought in our minds.
And so in July of 1 year, Jeremy's daughter Aaliyah dies, and then the following year, Kim is just getting started with rehab. And then, Lisa, your dad is in a coma and he's only got 10% chance to live. You guys are, there's tons going on in your lives. And when I talked to you earlier about this story, both of you shared a verse that you felt like kind of fit with where you were at even before you were looking at verses. And it's Psalms 34:18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So tell me about what was going on right in the midst, as soon as your dad's in the coma, how is God starting to open up the door in your life for you to get to know him?
Well, with this verse, it kind of feels like with everything that we endured, we felt defeated, broken, without hope. And we felt at that moment in the hospital, that's when God intervened.
Okay. And so I know just a couple of days, what day of the week did he go into the hospital?
Monday.
A Monday, okay. So later on that week, I think it's Thursday, what idea do you share with Jeremy?
Well, Tuesday and Wednesday, I started feeling like I just, there was something different. I just needed to go to church. I don't know where it came from. It just, I knew it was coming from here, and every day I ignored it. It seemed to get stronger and stronger. So by Thursday, I just walked in and I told him I need to, for some reason, I just need to go to church. I couldn't explain why.
And Jeremy, I know you had shared with me that how Lisa had been there for you so much and you wanted to be there for her. But you guys don't really know where to go to church at. So then you wind up, you're getting a tattoo, right? For, take me through that. What happens next?
Well, I decided after Aaliyah's death, I wanted to memorialize her by getting a portrait tattoo. And I looked for, gosh, a good 6 months. You know, going to tattoo shops. It's like, no, this doesn't feel right. This one, no. And then I come across Exile. And there's a wonderful person there named Whisper and Danny. Yes. And see, my dad goes down in cardiac arrest on Monday. Thursday, I tell Jeremy about needing to go to church. Well, Friday, my tattoo appointment came, and I remember sitting in the chair staring at this sign. And I needed to know about God's hands. I needed to hear about miracles, and I needed, what's the third one? Oh, power and prayer. And here's a sign that says Jesus saves, and this, maybe he knows something about this sign. He put it up, so I'm assuming he knows about it. So Danny asked us about Aaliyah, and we kind of went into the story about how we felt broken and no hope and just lost. I just remember saying, I feel lost. And he just perked right up, sat up in his chair, and just told us about Maywood. I told him I needed to go to church. I just didn't know how to get into church, you know. I thought you needed to make an appointment with the pastor. You know, is there a vacancy? Do we just walk? He's like, no, you just simply walk in and sit down. He's like, there's no contracts you need to sign. You don't have to come back. It's very simple. You just walk in and sit down. I'm like, okay. Seems simple.
And so he gave you this little, he's got a business card, and he wrote, just wrote this simple little instructions on the back of it. So you guys decide to go to Maywood that Sunday. And Jeremy, can you tell us a little bit, what is it like to arrive here at Maywood?
We showed up, and Lisa was out in the parking lot, she was sweating bullets, and wasn't sure about coming in, and just the idea of, not knowing anybody and coming into an environment that, in that kind of environment, she was just a little uncomfortable, but I got her in, and we sat back in the back, and met some pretty nice people that day.
Well, we were a little, when he first handed the card and I saw it was Independence, I'm like, oh, Independence again. We just pulled somebody off the street in Independence. Now we have to go back there.
And so who are the people that you met, Jeremy, or that you guys met?
We met Chris and Melissa Canellis.
Yeah. Ooh.
And, for our first time here at Maywood, we shared our story with them a little bit, and just all started from there.
They give us candy, too.
And so now you guys are pretty plugged into the church. How did that transition happen from coming on Sunday once? How did you guys actually get plugged in here at Maywood?
Well, God just put some amazing people in our lives, and we were coming just on Sundays at first, and Lisa wanted to increase and wanted more, and at first I was pretty reluctant because I was kind of selfish with my time, and she kind of said she was going to go by herself, and you want to tell that part of the story?
Yeah, I was like, fine, I'll go by myself. I don't need you. I'll go by myself. I got to the driveway, and I called him and said, would you please come with me? So he had left to go wash his car, I guess to avoid watching me leave, I don't know. He knew I wouldn't get past the driveway. I don't know what he was doing. And he came back, and we came, and we decided we'll just go to the popular class. We'll go to Josh's class. And, of course, we were late, so we walked in, and everybody's sitting down, and there were so many people in there. And we had no idea what they do. They had, like, sheets, and they were all in little groups. I didn't know if, like, you had assigned seats. I don't know. So we just sat off to the side. And then I hear this, no, no, no. It's Josh stomping across the class. And he's like, that's not how we do it. And he pointed to a table, and he said, like, this. And it was like Moses. They just parted. And, I mean, it was crazy. And then he made us go sit at the table, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this, and I was like, oh, man, they're going to ask us questions, and we have to answer. And I was like, I don't know about this. And then Pastor Bob comes and sits at our table, and we don't speak the whole time because we were so intimidated. It's like the grand poobah of the church is at our table.
That's his official title, actually.
His smile's intimidating. But, yeah, we went to that class, and then we walked out saying, maybe we're not ready for this. And next week, Jeremy was out of town, and I ended up going to look for Nancy's class. And I got up to, it was kind of confusing because I was just going up the stairs looking. I don't know where I'm going. And I'm looking for like 405 or 405B or something. I end up in Rudy's class sitting there. And he walked in and he says, well, we're going to talk about miracles today. And I was like, well, that's on my list. I need to hear about this. So I sat and I listened to Rudy, and then I went home and I told Jeremy about it and how calm he is. And I know Max and Brittany laugh about how I explain Rudy as being calm. But to me, he's calm. So unless I don't want to see him mad. So, but I told him about it, and he came back the next week, and he really liked it.
You know, and that's where, you know, I continued to, you know, early on with Aaliyah and the grief that I was experiencing, it seemed Lisa was like really strong and really, you know, there for me. And then with Kim and then to her dad, you know, she was taking it pretty hard. So I felt that I needed to be supportive and there for her. And if this is what she wanted to do, then I was going to be there for her. And again, you know, God just put some amazing people in our lives. Mm-hmm. We've had Rudy and Nancy and Max and Brittany and
Zoe.
Jake and Chrissy. And, you know, they've all been pretty supportive and helpful in our growth.
Yeah, and a lot of those last names are from your small group that you guys are in each week. And so you guys are fully involved now in this last year. You've come to faith in God. You've been here at Maywood. How is life different now than it was a little over a year ago?
I think it's just a little bit more peaceful. You know, a lot of the time I dwelled on a lot of my anger and the hate that I had for Jason and the things that were taken from me. You know, with Aaliyah, I wasn't going to be able to walk her down the aisle or see her have kids, or, you know, I dwelled on all that stuff. And since coming to Maywood and coming to Jesus and God, I feel that I'm able to start the process of forgiving Jason, and I'm able to look now at the time that I did have with Aaliyah, and not the things that I'm going to miss, but the time that I did have with her and the things that, and the memories that we shared. And, you know, I didn't want to continue in life with that anger and that bitterness and that hate. And it's changed.
Yeah. Lisa, how about you? How's life changed now that you're following God?
Before, I had a lot of anxiety. I had, like, no, I didn't feel purpose in life. I didn't really feel, I just kind of went to work and come home. There was no depth of helping others. There was no, you know, pretty selfish. Now I think that I have more of God's peace. I'm okay. I've got somebody to, if I'm having a bad day, talk to. And he's there everywhere, anywhere you want to go, he's there.
And you've talked to me, too, about how you've started to notice people around you in a different way. Can you kind of explain that?
I notice a lot of people in need, just simple things, like if you're going to the grocery store and you see somebody out in the parking lot struggling to get their groceries in the car and just saying, hey, do you need help? You know, taking, you know, not just walking by and ignoring. I don't feel like I ignore people as much anymore. not afraid to approach people and just ask if they need help. It would be nice, you know, I try to treat people in the way that I would want to be treated. So it's, I don't know, I'm more able to just ask people if they need help. I'm glad to do it.
Jeremy, there's a passage from Romans that you shared with me. It kind of is a key passage for you about what you guys have been going through. It's in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." Can you kind of unpack why does that verse relate to this story that you've shared with us this morning?
Well, that, and we're in Romans in our Sunday class and Rudy's class, and we had missed a couple weeks with Lisa's dad's passing here recently, and we when I came back, Rudy kind of did a recap of what they had been reading, and this verse was read, and then it kind of stuck out to me. And it, you know, it during all this time and all the things that we had been dealing with, and all the pain and the hurt and the loss, you know, we never gave up. You know, I mean, we needed something, and it was provided, and you know, the hope that things can get better, and the hope that, you know, it's you know, maybe, you know, I will see my daughter again someday, and it's good.
There's a lot more to Jeremy and Lisa's story than we can fully share today. I mean, Lisa's dad, we didn't even have time to really get into that, but Lisa's dad came out of that coma miraculously, and they got to have an extra year with Lisa's dad that nobody expected. And Lisa's dad was the one person in Lisa's life who was always telling her about God and about Jesus, and he got to see video and pictures of Lisa and Jeremy getting baptized here about a month ago. That was the last week or so that he was here. And so, you know, when we think back over all of this story, there's a lot of amazing things that happened. I mean, you guys coming to Independence, not knowing the area, and, you know, there's 100,000 people here, and you drove down one road and found Kim in a half hour. The fact that your dad, when he was walking to school, was seen by somebody, and it just so happened the principal came out and knew CPR. When you first had those things happening to you before you knew about God, how did you explain those things, Lisa?
I thought we were just extremely lucky. Look, I mean, as we were driving Kim from Independence back home, I just kept saying, "It's lucky, lucky," screaming at her, and then say, "I can't believe we're that lucky." But it's, you know.
And so now when you look back at all of this pattern that you shared today, how do you explain it?
There's really only one way, and it's just through God. It wasn't luck.
Last kind of thought I want us to hit on, though, today is, you know, Lisa, you shared something with me earlier a week or two ago, just about some questions you still have. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, with Aaliyah's death, that was just, it's traumatic. We'll probably never really get over it. We'll just learn to live with it. With my dad, I understand he was older. He had heart condition. I can understand his death. With Kim's near death, I can understand the addiction. I understand what it can do for you. But I will always struggle with why Aaliyah? Why did Aaliyah have to die? And, you know, they always say there's a reason for everything, but I struggle with the reasoning for that.
And for both of you, without an answer on that, I don't know if either, sorry to throw something, a new question at you guys, but how do you still have hope in God in the midst of that uncertainty?
I kind of feel like, you know, it's okay not to have all the answers, that, you know, we'll continue to struggle, but one day when we go to heaven, hopefully, those we'll get our answers then. We just have to be patient.
Yeah. Do you have anything? It's okay if you don't have anything to
add. No, I mean, it's just, it's hard for me to understand why. But, you know, I have someone that tells me all the time that, you know, if I knew exactly what, if I could wrap my mind around what God was thinking, then I would be God. And that's, you know, it's okay not to have all the answers. And I just cherish the time I had with my daughter, and I'll see her again someday.
Yeah, amen. Today, Lisa and Jeremy have shared, I think, wrapped up exactly what this series is about, is that we don't have all the answers here at Maywood Baptist. Danny didn't write that on that piece of cardboard, find all the answers. What we do have is we know that God loves us, and we know that if we stick with God, even when we're suffering, that we can persevere, and we can have character, and that somehow God will give us hope, even in the midst of that suffering. And today, Jeremy and Lisa have been very brave to share this story with all of us. I know there's a lot of hurting hearts in this room. There's questions that you guys have that there aren't easy answers to. Today, in our time of response, the worship team's coming up. Jeremy and Lisa are going to be down here along with some of the rest of us, ready to pray with you. And the reason that we pray to God is not to get all the answers. It's because God is working. Even in the midst of all the problems, when you hear their story, it doesn't all make sense, but you see that God helped save Kim, that God helped save Jeremy and Lisa through all of this, that God gave miracles at times. And so if you're going through any sort of pain today, and you say, I want that hope that Jeremy and Lisa had, I want to be able to let go of my hate or bitterness, and I want to be able to take hold of hope, then come down and pray with somebody this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you for Jeremy and Lisa. God, I thank you that you love us, that you love each one of us. God, I pray today that you would fill us with hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.